So what we have is a double propaganda in a certain sense. We have a propaganda at the level of the Montenegrin government and also at the level of NATO.
You're listening to The Corbett Report.
Welcome, friends. James Corbett here, CorbettReport.com. Today is the 26th of February, 2016. I keep doing that. Sorry. And today we are going to be talking to someone new to the Corbett Report universe, but not new to followers of BoilingFrogsPost.com. I'm talking about Dr. Philip Kovacevic, and I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly. Let's check. Dr. Philip Kovacevic, is that right?
I think you're doing well, James. I'll take that.
Well, we'll go with that for now, but you can correct me as you feel the need to. Dr. Kovacevic is a university professor. He's also the author of 7 books and dozens of academic articles. He is also the chairman of the Movement for Neutrality of Montenegro, a very interesting organization and one that is, I think, going to become very much more important in the coming months, as we will talk about in today's conversation. He's also a professor at the University of San Francisco, where he now resides. So, Dr. Kovacevic, thank you very much for joining us today.
Thank you very much, James. I'm very glad to be here. I respect your work, and I follow it closely and carefully.
Excellent. Well, I'm glad to hear that, and I'm glad to have you on board for today's conversation. We're going to be talking about an important editorial that you wrote for BoilingFrogsPost.com late last year, but we should note, for those who are interested, that you are going to be the Newsbud.com senior analyst on Russia and the Balkans if, when, and as the Newsbud.com Kickstarter gets funded. So we will once again direct people's attention to the Newsbud.com Kickstarter campaign that is in the process of being funded right now, and hopefully by April 14th, 2016, we will have the funding for Newsbud to enable this type of analysis. So let's get into the meat and potatoes. We have this article that you wrote back in December, What the New York Times Did Not Tell You About NATO and Montenegro, referencing a couple of articles from the New York Times. Well, one article and one op-ed. NATO unveils plan to grow, drawing fury and threats from Russia, and Russia's fury over Montenegro and NATO. And this is concerning an invitation that was extended, a formal invitation for membership of NATO to Montenegro in December of last year. But I think before we get into that issue specifically, we might need to set the table a little bit for the audience who may or may not know anything at all about Montenegro and its position in this geopolitical struggle. I'm sure many people will know that it was a part of the former Yugoslavia, but they may or may not know that through a referendum in 2006, it actually attained its own sovereignty, and I don't know where people's understanding of Montenegro and its place in this issue is, so perhaps we can just start with a little bit of information about Montenegro and how it's situated in this struggle between NATO and the Russia resistance bloc.
Thanks, James. Thanks for the introduction. Montenegro is one of the 6 former Yugoslav republics. It became independent in 2006. And as soon as it became independent, it became the target of the U.S. foreign policy expansionist agenda, which is exemplified through NATO expansion at this point of time. The issue in Montenegro is that the majority of the people actually do not want NATO membership for different reasons, one of which is that NATO not long ago bombed Serbia, Montenegro, and Kosovo in order to, once again, to actualize its geopolitical agenda in the Balkans. As you know, if you look at the Balkan history, you'll see that the Balkans is a region where many empires have clashed. We have the great game in Eurasia, but we also have the mini great game in the Balkans, at least for the last 200 years. And basically, there have been 3 forces, the Germany-Austria-Hungary Empire, the British Empire, the Russian Empire, and also, of course, the Ottoman Empire, so 4 forces. And today we pretty much have the US-NATO Empire on the one hand, and we also have the resurgence of, let's say, the Russian influence in the Balkans. But what concerns me at this point is to, and my work is to uncover, to expose the expansionist agendas from both sides. So at this point of time, the US and NATO have had the most work done in the Balkans, so I'm focusing my attention to them. But if the Russians should gain the upper hand, I'll be spending as much time focusing on the Russian imperialist agenda.
That's so important, because often in these types of struggles, the actual people involved in the country in question are usually excluded from the conversation altogether, as if it is NATO's say over what happens in the country, or Russia's say over what happens in the country, rather than Montenegrins themselves, which is the point of these New York Times articles. Let's talk a little bit about them. There's one from Steven Erlanger, as I talked about, and then there's one from the editorial board of the New York Times. How did the New York Times try to frame this conversation about the possible membership of Montenegro in NATO?
The problem with the New York Times presentation is that you get a selective and biased account, an account that goes hand in hand with the U.S. expansionist agenda. In other words, you don't get an objective presentation of the facts on the ground. And this is precisely why we need the Newsbot. We need the Newsbot to expose the agendas, the geopolitical agendas in the mass media. And so what we have in these two articles is the New York Times trying to present you something as a fact, which actually is an interpretation based only on one perspective, the perspective of the United States and NATO. In this presentation, the people of Montenegro, who in the end have to make a decision whether they want to join or not, are completely excluded. In one article, they are mentioned only in half a sentence, and this sentence is false. In other words, Steven Erlanger, who's a well-known writer for the New York Times, he says that Montenegro is eager to join, whereas in fact the majority of the people in Montenegro are against NATO membership. So we have a clear attempt to mislead, to lie to the U.S. public. In the second article, which is the editorial, we have a more nuanced picture where the editorial writers say that the Montenegrins are sharply divided. However, this is not the case either, because the majority is against joining. So they cannot be sharply divided if the majority is against joining. It's not 50-50. So in other words, what's also interesting is that within the same New York Times, you have, you know, one perspective that's kind of hardline and one or less so, but they both point to the same agenda, which is this story is over. There is no choice. Montenegro will be a member of NATO. And this is far from the fact. So in order for the U.S. citizens and the others who read the New York Times to be correctly informed, they have to have access to another type of media. And I think this is the role that the Newsbot can play and will play if we get the necessary funding.
Well, as you say, I mean, the people of Montenegro are majority against this move, but let's get a sense of what the average person in Montenegro feels, as you say, about that very recent history about the NATO bombings in that area. I mean, is this related to that, or is it an extension of general angst over, you know, US/NATO foreign policy?
But there are so many different factors going on. The issue, of course, connected with the recent NATO bombing 15 years ago, you know, is fresh in everybody's memory. There's also the issue of the U.S. expansionism in other parts of the world, and people seeing that joining an organization like NATO would get the people of Montenegro involved in conflicts in other parts of the world. So what we have, in a certain sense, is people not willing to be militaristic, people not willing to have their money being invested in the military, whereas they could be invested in schools, in social services, and so on. In addition, in Montenegro, we have a very corrupt government. We basically have the party leadership, the Communist Party being extended under a different name for another 25 years. So what we have is people at the top essentially lying to the outside public about NATO. People at the top, in order to stay at the top, in order to maintain their power and privilege, they play the game of the United States. So the information that you can get, let's say, from the Montenegrin official sources, from the government, from the ambassadors and diplomats, is that, you know, people love NATO. But this is not true to the facts on the ground. So what we have is a double propaganda in a certain sense. We have a propaganda at the level of the Montenegrin government and also at the level of NATO. So people, in a certain sense, have to fight against two enemies, against their domestic enemy, the government that's corrupt and it's lying to them, and also this geopolitical, let's say, enemy or opponent that wants to get them into its own project and its own agendas.
Well, let's talk a little bit about the chairman, you being the chairman for the Movement for Neutrality of Montenegro, an interesting sounding organization. Tell us about that organization and how it came about.
Yes, the issue here is that what I and some colleagues of mine and friends wanted to do is we wanted to offer a foreign policy agenda for Montenegro that will not take sides, that will essentially work with both the West and the East for the benefit of the Montenegrin people. The best for Montenegro at this point of time, considering the traumas about NATO and also Montenegrin history, is for Montenegro to play a role of a bridge, of a country that in a certain sense will help for the two sides to come together. Because these two sides, in my opinion, have to cooperate. I mean, the Western side, US, NATO, and perhaps the Russian-Chinese axis, they have to cooperate in order for us to have a peaceful world. So we were thinking in setting up this organization that we could help. We could at least get Montenegro to be a place where different interests can meet so that Montenegro could become, in a certain sense, Switzerland in the Balkans. Because as we know, Switzerland being neutral has benefited from this position and was able to host many different negotiations, including the latest one on Syria. So as Montenegrin patriots, but also as pretty much citizens of the world, we want to give our contribution to make this world a more peaceful place, respecting the interests of the people living in Montenegro. And we have had a lot of success, but of course we are faced with the government obstructionism and discrimination and all of that, which can be expected because we are basically confronting the government's foreign policy agenda. But we have a lot of support from the people.
Well, that's right. There is that disconnect between what the people are thinking versus what the government and official sources say, as always. So how does that play out in this NATO issue? As you say, most of the public is against this accession, but I would assume the official news sources in Montenegro tend to be on the side of this move?
Yeah, definitely. This is why we need new media sources. You know, this is why we need a source like Newsbud that's going to amplify internationally some of these domestic stories. And I can uniquely contribute to that because I speak the Balkan languages and also Russian. And I could look at it. I could read the original sources and then present the situation as best I can. And I think my record speaks to that I have been a credible source for a long time.
Then finally, what is the time frame for this move? Is there a decision that's going to be made this year on NATO membership?
It's difficult to say because this was just the invitation. Now that all the countries in NATO have to ratify this invitation, as well as the people of Montenegro, what our organization is advocating is a referendum for the people to decide. Obviously, the government is against that because they know they don't have the majority. So they'd rather make a decision in the parliament where they can, in a certain sense, coerce the deputies. They can either corrupt them with money or with different kinds of threats and blackmail and get them to vote for the NATO membership. So this process, I think, is not going to go to the end. I think this process is going to be stopped at the level of invitation because people will organize and people will take charge in Montenegro. And also at this point of time, because of the further collapse of the situation in the Euro, in Europe, what you have is setting up of two blocks, and people will realize that for Montenegro at this point of time, it's best not to take sides. And of course, this will also necessitate political changes in Montenegro. I do not expect the current government, the government of Milo Djukanovic, who has been a leader for the last 25 years and who is a good friend of Joe Biden. So he is a very good friend of some U.S. politicians, which tells you that NATO is not the champion of democracy, the rule of law and human rights. It's basically an organization that turns a blind eye to the abuses of these things as long as they have the person in power who is going to support their agenda. So the only way for us to actually implement our agenda is basically to have political change in Montenegro. I think this is going to happen by the end of this year.
All right. Well, it's going to be fascinating to watch the way that this plays out and to see what happens. And obviously, we'll be keeping an eye on that. Again, if, when, and as newsbud.com gets launched, what are some of the other issues in that region that you've got your eye on?
Well, there are so many issues in the Balkans. There is the issue of the refugees and to what extent their numbers will destabilize the region. There's this issue of the Russians investing a lot of money in the Balkans now and in a certain sense coming back to the Balkans. There's also this issue of the Ottoman expansion, of Erdogan's idea of being the Sultan of the Balkans. So what we are seeing is a very, very complex geopolitical picture. And I hope to be able to do this on Newsbud, you know, to be able to untangle all these different tangles and to help people understand, and not only understand, but also motivate them to take action in their own communities. I have always wanted to motivate people to take action. So my work is not only intellectual; it also has this activist component. It's like if we can do something, you can do it too.
Well, knowledge without action is meaningless, really. So absolutely, it's good to see that spirit alive and well, and I'm glad to see that you're taking up that torch. So everyone who's watching this conversation, who's interested in these issues, I hope they will, again, check out the newsbud.com Kickstarter campaign. The link will be in the show notes so that you can go and make your pledge and help to get this information launched, because as we say, there are not a lot of news sources that are going to be honestly covering issues like these. So let's help to make the people-powered alternative to the mainstream official purveyors of lies. On that note, Dr. Filip Kovacevic, it's been great to have you on the program. I look forward to many more conversations in the future. Thank you for your time.
Thank you very much, James. Keep up the good work.